I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you on day 11 after Hurricane Ida here in New Orleans. And there are still a lot of people who don't have electricity. They don't have power yet. Although Energy and CLECO have done a good job, they've got many people their power back. Yet there are still, I believe, around 250,000 people, 250,000 to 280,000 that still don't have their power back, and a bunch of those people don't have running water either. And I know for some folks, for instance, down in Houma, and other places that are tough to get to and that were really, really hit hard by Hurricane Ida, I know that the electric companies were saying hopefully they will have their power back by the end of the month. And my God, that's a long time as we sit here on September 9th. So there are, and I see the trucks living here in New Orleans. I know living in the city, I know many of the workers are staying in hotels here in the city of New Orleans. And when I come to work in the morning, I pass a couple of their parking lots where the parking lots are just filled up with bucket trucks, with electric trucks. And I know for some people who haven't gotten their power back, it's extremely frustrating. But they are working hard. They're doing the best they can. From everything I could tell, I think they said they had an extra over 20,000 crews come in to Southeast Louisiana, come into New Orleans. Over 20,000 extra crews. And they were saying, if you've seen anything on online, they were saying the damage that Hurricane Ida did, they had never seen damage like this before. It was a lot more damage, like knocked down electric poles and things like that, a lot more than Hurricane Katrina. This was worse than Hurricane Katrina. Luckily, the levees held and the streets didn't flood. But Hurricane Ida looks like is the worst hurricane that we've gotten in a really long time. Yesterday, the mayor of the city of New Orleans, Letaxa Cantrell, by the way, do you know she reached an agreement with the IRS? She ended up writing them a check. Her and her lawyer husband have owed the IRS over $100,000 for a while now. And I brought it up several times on the show. I said, you know, I pay my taxes every year. Most people pay their taxes every year. How come the mayor of New Orleans doesn't have to pay her taxes every year, or her and her lawyer husband? Well, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, she reached a deal with the IRS. She paid around $35,000. She wrote them a check. Must be nice, huh? You owe the federal government over $100,000 in unpaid back federal income tax money. You owe them over $100,000. It was around $110,000. And you cut a deal with them.
Well, I guess something's better than nothing, right?
But how is that fair to you or me, Coleman?
It's not.
Or the person listening to this radio show right now who has paid all of their federal income taxes, or at least most of them, a lot more than that. I guess during a couple of weeks ago, from what I read, she worked out a deal with the IRS for $35,000. Maybe she used one of those companies, because I hear commercials for places that say, do you have the IRS calling you because you haven't paid them in a while? Do you owe the IRS all kinds of money over the last few years? Well, call us, and our people will work with the IRS to get your what you owe, the amount, lowered.
Then they have the little jingle, Optima Tax Relief, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
This text says, the reason why IDA was so powerful and it caused so much damage is because it was actually a Category 5, not a Category 4. I'm not sure. I mean, in retrospect, we can say that, but I remember doing IDA, the winds, they were rough, but at the same time, I was able to open my windows, and the breeze actually felt good. You know, and
I've read a few different people relating to what that texter just said.
Mm-hmm.
I've read a few people say that they may look at this again and rename it a Category 5 hurricane, because like the texter said, it was a Category 4. That's what they told us. But weather experts may update that. They may look at that and they may say it was a Category 5. Because this was worse than Hurricane Katrina.
Well, the property damage were not the casualties, but it was the damage was more widespread than Katrina, and it was more devastating as far as how everybody went out of power, like the effects of the winds and the storms were worse.
Yeah.
And then there was the gusts, too. That's really like every now and then you get that one rush of gusts. I remember I had to go outside during the storm because my storm drains was filling up because of debris, and my street started to flood. So I put a little poncho on, and I remember fighting the wind outside and trying to get the leaves out the drain so the water could drain, which was pretty much futile when I look back on it. But
I've never seen you in a poncho. You have many ponchos, Coleman?
No, I only have two ponchos.
They're your hurricane ponchos?
Yeah.
Thank you for the text. We appreciate it, and we ask you, text us anything you want during our show. And keep it to one or two sentences. Keep it short. And if it's good, we'll read it coming up. We always appreciate your texts. 504-260-9595. From Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund, here with you. Morning day number 11 after Hurricane Ida. And yesterday, the sheriff of Orleans Parish, Marlon Gussman, he released a statement where he said 63 people so far have been arrested for looting in New Orleans after Hurricane Ida. I don't know why the Orleans Parish Sheriff released that statement, and that statement was not released by the New Orleans Police Department. You would think maybe the superintendent of the NOPD would release that. But he didn't. The sheriff of Orleans Parish, Marlon Gussman, released that statement. What's interesting is he said since the day before Hurricane Ida, so Hurricane Ida was a week ago Sunday, which was August 29th. But the sheriff of Orleans Parish yesterday said if you go back a day before then to Saturday, August 28th, since high noon, Saturday, August 28th, until yesterday, 174 people have been arrested. There were 174 total arrests. And out of that, he said 63 of those arrests were for looting. I wonder why he made that statement and not the New Orleans Police Department. I wonder how come it was the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office who made that statement. And why did they give us the total numbers starting the day before Hurricane Ida came through here? I thought that was interesting news from yesterday.
Do you think there's a such thing in an emergency situation as justified looting? Like if you're struggling and your neighborhood has no power, there's no food, and there's a convenience store, do you think there's something that's just, like, if you go so many days without food, like, it's kind of forgivable. Like, look, there's food in there. There's something that you can use just for survival purposes.
You know, I've heard that talked about before, Coleman. Especially if a neighborhood has been without power for several days and people break in and they steal things like water, food, things to eat and drink. I've heard some people say, well, you can understand where they're coming from. What I don't understand is when, after storms, I've seen people walking out of stores looting television sets.
Right.
And looting sneakers. And You remember after Hurricane Katrina? People were leaving the Superdome after breaking into the Superdome, and they went into some of the suites, the luxury suites in the Superdome. I saw one guy walking down the street with a leather chair. And, yeah. and see, things like that, I don't get that. That's against the law. But I could understand where some people would say, look, if there's a convenience store or and people need water to drink, and there's some in there, or there's food in there to eat, I can see where some people would say you think that that's okay because people are drinking water and eating food to survive.
Yeah, I can consider those forgivable if it's for survival purposes, especially after it's been 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, and the people who own the store doesn't seem to be coming back. Maybe they've evacuated. But I don't agree with looting homes. You know, if your neighbor evacuated and you didn't, I don't. No matter how long your neighbor's been out, and how long you've been in, and even though you're probably starving, I don't think it's right to break into your neighbor's home. Certain stores, I can see that. I can give it a pass if it is for food and water. But I've seen an example where there were people trying to loot clothing stores, you know, to get shoes.
Yeah, I don't get that.
There was a video on Facebook where it was a store owner sitting on top of his roof during Ida, trying to, you know, he had his gun and he was shooting people trying to go into his store, you know, like saying, hey, if you come to my store, this is all I have. This is my moneymaker. Don't bring it to my store right now. And he was actually like taking warning shots at people trying to break into his store to get shoes and footwear and stuff.
Yeah, that's wrong. I mean, stealing from people is wrong, period. Stealing from people, especially when they're down, when they don't have electricity, when they may have evacuated. I mean, that's wrong. I mean, I can see the discussion for the water and the food, although I am no fan of that. I'm no fan of breaking into some place you're not supposed to be, period.
Well, Boudreaux says, in Lafayette, we don't loot. If you wait a day or two, all the store owners don't go that far. They will come back if the storm is bad enough, and they will let you clean out the store. Pretty much saying, if the storm is bad enough, they will come in, open the stores for you, and, you know, let you, I guess, take what you need if the storm is that bad. And I agree with some of that. I've seen some stores open immediately. They knew that their freezers were going bad, so they had to get rid of it. So they was pretty much giving away meat and stuff, like the stuff that they knew that they couldn't keep in store for safety purposes. They were just giving it away because they had to get rid of it.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. But that's a long way from looting, though. Looting.
Yeah, that's a lot different. That's a lot different than looting. I mean, if they have stuff in refrigerators and or freezers, that's going to go bad anyways.
I'm sorry. He says Lafitte. I said Lafayette. He texts back and said Lafitte. I'm sorry. Okay, that was my bad, Boudreaux.
Yeah.
He lucky didn't call him Boudreaux X.
Thanks for the text, Boudreaux. So anyways, I thought those numbers were interesting. That was announced yesterday that 63 people here in New Orleans have been arrested for looting.
Yep.
And following Hurricane Ida.
And I've heard law enforcement say you would be lucky to get arrested because some people don't take looting kindly. They would have like loot. They would shoot you if they cut you looting. So being arrested is probably the best option that they have if you decide to go that route.
Coming up on the show, we have a lot more Hurricane Ida related stuff. Because again, today is day 11 since that storm came through here, and the numbers are incredible. Again, Entergy and the electric companies, they're dealing with things that they didn't even deal with after Hurricane Katrina. When you start looking at the numbers of poles that went down and the numbers of people who lost their electricity. Stay tuned. We'll have more of that. We got a few other things we're going to get to on the show this morning as well. We are rocking and recovering here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Van Halen there. There's a new book coming out about the leader of Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen. These two journalists who had numerous conversations and interviews with Eddie Van Halen over the years, they got together. They put all those words to paper, and they are releasing a new book called Eruption, Conversations with Eddie Van Halen. You know what's interesting? The song Eruption from the first Van Halen album is just that guitar solo from Eddie Van Halen. And that wasn't even going to be on the album. When they were recording their first album, either the engineer or the producer heard Eddie Van Halen in the studio playing that. And he just decided to roll tape. And they recorded it. And they were so blown away by it, they said, we've got to put this on the album. And Eddie Van Halen said, well, wait a minute. I didn't know that. If you're going to put it on the album, let me do it again. They said, no, you don't have to do it again. Eruption is perfect. It's that guitar solo that's before the song You Really Got Me on the first album. But Eddie didn't even know that they were going to put it on the album. He goes, I do that to warm up. He was getting ready to play something else. But guys in the studio who were working in the studio heard him playing that, and they just decided to press play and record, and they recorded him doing that without him even knowing it.
Why do you think they called it Eruption?
That's just, it's what it sounded like. And, you know, there's a lot of guitar players, Coleman, who feel that that's the greatest guitar solo that they've ever heard. It's its own song. And it goes before their version of their cover of the Kinks song "You Really Got Me," which, by the way, "You Really Got Me" was the first single ever released by Van Halen.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't Eddie Van Halen known for erupting, like driving tanks down neighborhoods if you take his guitar and stuff like that?
Yeah, we've told a few Eddie Van Halen stories since his passing. And there was that one story where he got upset that someone borrowed his equipment. And the person was staying in a home in Beverly Hills. And he had some kind of a war vehicle.
Yeah, it's Fred Durst, I believe, from Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, yeah. And Eddie Van Halen took a vehicle that is usually used for war. He took it through the streets of Beverly Hills, California, pulled it up into the driveway to the mansion where Fred Durst was staying. He got out. I think he had a gun too. And he said, give me my stuff back, pal.
Well, Fred Durst is lucky that tank didn't erupt.
Yeah. But anyways, there's a new book, Eruption, Conversations with Eddie Van Halen, that's coming out soon. And it's two journalists again over the years who interviewed and talked with Eddie a lot. And they decided to get together, put all their stuff together, and make one really cool book. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. And tonight, the NFL football season begins. And they do the same thing every year. They start the season on a Thursday night, and they always have whoever won the Super Bowl the previous year, they host another team on the first Thursday night of the NFL season. Tonight's game is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hosting the Dallas Cowboys. over there in Tampa. And I know we're still dealing with recovering from Hurricane Ida here. The Saints open their season. It was supposed to be in the Dome here on Sunday, but it's going to be in Jacksonville, Florida, against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Yesterday, the mayor of New Orleans, Letaxa Cantrell, said she hopes the Saints' fourth game of the season will be the first one here in the city of New Orleans. That's what they're working on and they're hoping and they're planning for. So tonight the NFL season starts, and I just read where the Saints, because you know how the Saints, if you're a Saints fan, you know there's a salary cap. Every NFL team has the same amount of money to spend on their players each year. That's what keeps the league competitive. Every team has the same amount of money. Well, the Saints, the last few years, haven't managed their money very well, that great. They have a lot of what's called dead money, and they have some serious salary cap issues. So they've had a release a few players who they didn't want to release. And I just read one of those players who they've had for the last couple of years, and he's done pretty well here. He's the RB2. He's the running back behind Alvin Kamara. Latavius Murray is his name. They just had to release him because of salary cap issues, and they're going to go with a younger backup running back for Alvin Kamara.
You said going with a cheaper backup quarterback.
Well, that's the biggest reason why. A less expensive RB2. But I just read where when the Saints released Latavius Murray, they did it the other day 1 hour before his $3 million salary for this upcoming season was guaranteed. They did it 1 hour before that. And you know, Latavius Murray will be picked up by another team because he's a solid running back. But I just thought it was wild how if one more hour went by, the Saints would have had to pay, they would have had to pay Latavius Murray's full $3 million salary for this upcoming season. Good thing his phone battery wasn't dead. You know, good thing, because there was only 1 hour.
They just ignored the text. So, of course, Green Bay Billy texts in. Every time you mention Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers, he has to text. He says, Johnny, got to know that there's no way, it doesn't matter where the Saints play Green Bay, there's no way in hell they're going to beat us this year without Breeze or their stud wide receiver one.
Michael Thomas you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I always appreciate the texts. I don't know who's going to win this Sunday, but you know what I do know about this Sunday Saints-Packers game in Jacksonville? I know it's going to be an entertaining game to watch. Because Aaron Rodgers is always entertaining, and I think Jameis Winston, starting on Sunday, is going to be playing with a huge chip on his shoulder. This is his second chance professionally in his life after being the number one overall draft pick out of college to go play for Tampa and him failing there. Let's just say what it is. He failed in Tampa Bay because the year they got rid of him, they won the Super Bowl. It was as if there was one thing holding back the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and then that was Jameis Winston. And as soon as they got rid of him, They won the Super Bowl. So he comes to New Orleans. He watches Drew Brees and sits behind Brees in Brees' final year with the bum shoulder Brees had. Learned a lot from Sean Payton last year. And we will see now if we get Jameis Winston 2.0, because we know he has the talent. Now we'll just see if his mental makeup has caught up to his physical ability.
So now we got two veteran quarterbacks going against two upstarts. We got Brady against Prescott, and then we got Aaron Rodgers versus Winston this coming up season, like for the openers, right? This is going to be really good, seeing like veteran quarterbacks chop up with the young guys, see how the young guys stack up to the veterans.
It's always exciting. I'm a huge football fan. It's always exciting when the season starts. So it starts tonight with Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys at Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucks, and then on Sunday the Saints are hosting the Green Bay Packers in Jacksonville, Florida, because of Hurricane Ida. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you on day 11 after Hurricane Ida, as we are rocking and recovering our way back to life the way we know it. And I know for a lot of people, it's going to be a while. I think it was just under a million people lost power in Southeast Louisiana because of Hurricane Ida. It was just under a million people totally. And I think right now they have over 700,000 people's electricity back on. There's still about 250,000 people that don't have their power back on. And in some places, the electric companies are saying that it's going to take till the end of the month. That's brutal. And I think of those people, and I feel awful for those people, because what's today? September 9th. And they're saying the end of the month. That's a long time. But I know Entergy and Coleco, they're working their tails off. And did you see the story about the one guy in Washington Parish who got arrested for interfering with the linemen while they were working to reconnect people's electricity there? Deputies arrested a Washington Parish man for interfering with linemen trying to restore power. A 60-year-old guy named Billy Crane. He was taken into custody for impairing their work and creating a dangerous situation. Deputies say that the 60-year-old man became belligerent and refused to comply with authorities. He physically resisted, but was subdued, restrained, and placed under arrest. He was booked into the Washington Parish Jail on charges of unauthorized entry of critical infrastructure, criminal mischief, resisting an officer, and three counts of public intimidation. So was this 60-year-old guy named Billy Crane? he was intimidating the workers for the electrical companies that were trying to restore electricity.
Now I'm trying to imagine, what can a 60-year-old guy do that anyone would consider intimidating? Like, was he buff? Did he look like a wrestler? Did he look like Hulk Hogan or Ric Flair in their 60s and 70s? Like, how did this guy look to be intimidating to people?
Perhaps he was verbally intimidating, Coleman. Maybe not so much physically. The sheriff of Washington Parish, his name is Randy Seal. He said, quote, such behavior is not only foolish, but also dangerous. While electrical linemen are working hard to restore electricity to parish residents, the last thing they need is an amateur interfering with their work and creating danger for them. I applaud all of our linemen and other utility workers who have put in long hours under very difficult circumstances. So perhaps this guy thought he knew more than the electric company workers when it came to restoring power, and he got in their way, and he caused problems.
Well, his last name is Crane. So maybe he knew a little something about the cranes that they were using to get on top the poles. I don't know. Something. I just imagine him, like, while this lineman probably on a bucket truck or a ladder, this crane guy's probably under, like, shaking the ladder from under their feet or something just to mess with them. You know, because it doesn't necessarily say what he did to intimidate them or to get in their way or to interfere. But my imagination runs wild like that. And I always think, you know, this guy is 60. You would think by the age 60 you would have your life together, and you wouldn't do things like this, or you wouldn't behave a certain way because you learned your life lessons. But this goes to show me that craziness doesn't have an expiration date.
No, mental health issues, Coleman, there's no age limit.
Yeah, I'm beginning to realize that the older I get. Yeah.
Although, the older I get, I think mentally, I've gotten a lot better, because when I was younger, you know, I would see things, I wouldn't think too much about them. But now I see things as I've gotten older, and I think I have more empathy because I've lived longer, I've lived through a lot of stuff, and that makes you be able to relate to things that you see that you weren't really able to do when you were younger. You know what I've seen on Facebook? There are several workers, because Entergy said they hired another at least 20,000 crews, work crews, that came from different parts of the country to come down here to get the almost a million people who lost their power to get them restored. I mean, think about that for a second. Over 20,000 crews, not 20,000 workers, 20,000 crews came from different parts of the country to come down here, and they're still here. And they've got a deal in Washington Parish with this 60-year-old guy who's getting in their way, telling them how to do their jobs. But I also saw where a bunch of those workers, they said, and they've written letters which have appeared on Facebook to their wives and their families back where they're from. They said they've never eaten so well in their lives.
You're welcome.
Yeah, they said it's incredible how they're doing their jobs. In some of the stories I've seen, that how some of these electric workers are doing their jobs, restoring people, and people in those neighborhoods are feeding them.
See,
and they're feeding them food. Some of these guys I've never eaten before. And they said, wow, this is fantastic.
I truly believe that these linemen that come from different areas of the country, I do believe that they are enjoying probably the best cooked food that they've ever experienced in their lives. But I do refuse to believe that they're actually writing physical letters to send to their wives and sending them in the mail. That part, I don't buy that. Maybe you meant text messages or emails or something, but I don't think
this is... Could be a text, could be an email, something like that.
I don't think they're actually getting a pen and a pad and writing letters back to their wives like, oh my God, babe, here's a recipe that you have to try.
Although one letter I did see on Facebook.
It was a physical written letter.
It was on a piece of paper.
Wow.
Because he wanted to explain exactly what he was eating. You know, we have that on our website at bayou957.com. I know we put that on our radio station's Facebook page yesterday. But he was explaining to his wife what they were eating. And I think he was insinuating, hey, you should, because he was putting the ingredients in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically was telling her, you know, when I get home, I'd like to eat this more.
Oh, man. See, now we're going to destroy a relationship. They can't compete. They can't compete with New Orleans cooking. So here it is. These women were doing well with their husbands, making sure they were well fed, and they was enjoying it. Then they come to New Orleans to help out. They experience seasonings and spices and flavors that they never experienced before. Now they got to go back to their wives who can't cook like we do. That's going to cause all kind of trouble for their relationships in the future. Like, babe, won't you do it like that woman in New Orleans? And she's like, I'm not from New Orleans. I can't do it. Divorce. I'm filing for divorce. I need a woman that can really cook.
Well, the food in and around New Orleans is unique compared to the rest of the country, and it's some of the best food on the planet.
Of course it is.
And I thought it was interesting how some of these electrical workers were saying we've never eaten so well.
Yeah, then they got to go back home to their bland, regular, non-seasoned food.
Well, now that they know it, I mean, if they've never eaten it before, it's one thing. But now that they've eaten it and tasted it, they're getting the ingredients, and some of these electrical workers are bringing them home to the families because they want to turn them on to some really good stuff. But I just thought it was wild how this one 60-year-old guy in Washington Parish, Billy Crane. When you know when you turn 60, people are still calling you Billy, dude. You think maybe Bill or Will? No, I've been Billy since I was a kid. I'm 60 now. I'm going to be Billy till the end. But he got himself arrested, and again, he was charged with unauthorized entry of critical infrastructure, criminal mischief, resisting an officer, and three counts of public intimidation. We don't know the details on how he intimidated the electrical workers. Hang out with us as we continue to rock and recover here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. According to a new study, male spiders spy on their sexual rivals to gain a competitive edge. In fact, some spiders go so far as to conduct web searches. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund. Here with you. You know, the car's there before them, Nirvana. And there's a Seattle grunge rock and roll fantasy camp that's going to happen in early 22. You know how they have rock and roll fantasy camps? They've had them for years now where members of older, you know, legendary bands, they'll give fans of their bands an opportunity to go somewhere, whether it's in Florida or wherever it is, for a few days, and you can meet and jam with the musicians who are in your favorite band or one of your favorite bands. And that's been going on for a while. Well, I just read where the guitarist of Soundgarden, Kim Thayil, and the guitarist of Alice in Chains, Jerry Cantrell, those two guys are leading a grunge, the Sounds of Seattle rock and roll fantasy camp. They're calling it the Sounds of Seattle. It's going to be in February, this upcoming February, but it's not going to be in Seattle. It's going to be in Los Angeles. They have a few other people there too, including the original drummer from Pearl Jam, who was kicked out of the band right when they were making the first album. His name is Dave Cruzan.
Interesting choice.
Yeah, out of all the people you could have, you had this guy who was in Pearl Jam right before they made it. But then when they were doing the first album, they kicked him out of the band and they replaced him with Dave Abruzzese. But yeah, could you imagine? I mean, and there's Dave Cruzan. Oh yeah, that's the guy that almost was in Pearl Jam. That's the guy that really was in Pearl Jam right before they made it, right before they hit it big. You know, that reminded me of when I was on the radio in Boston, I interviewed the drummer in the Beatles before Ringo Starr. His name is Pete Best. And for whatever reason, he was in Boston and he had a manager and they contacted our radio station. And I said, and they asked me, would you want to meet and talk to Pete Best? I said, oh my God. I said, sure. I mean, here's the guy that was in the Beatles right before they made it. And they kick in the, I think the guy sold insurance after that. I don't know what Pete Best did, to be honest with you, but he came into the radio station and I was like, wow. This is the unluckiest guy in the history of rock and roll. And I interviewed him and I talked to him and he was a nice guy. Pete Best was. But I couldn't imagine. I mean, because I love Alice in Chains and I love Soundgarden. It would be great to meet and jam with their two guitar players.
Okay.
Jerry Cantrell and Kim Thayil. But then they said also on the list of musicians is Dave Cruzan, the drummer who was in Pearl Jam right before they exploded.
So, John, we know you're not Neil Peart, but you do play a little drums, right? Just a little bit. So if you can go to one of these fantasy rock camps, what band would you love to jam with, probably play around with the cymbals and the kick drum? If you had to choose any band for a fantasy camp, who would you want to jam with?
Wow. Probably right now. Probably Led Zeppelin because, you know, the other three guys are still alive. The only dead guy in Led Zeppelin is the drummer. How cool would it be to jam with them? You know, Guns N' Roses, too. They got three of the original guys on this current tour. And one of the guys who's not there is the original drummer, Steven Adler. So I mean, that would be cool jamming with Slash and Duff and Axl. That would be cool jamming with those guys.
If I can play an instrument, like let's say I play the turntables or something, I'm going to probably jam with either AC/DC or Steel Panther. They look like they have crazy shows and have a crazy time.
Well, Steel Panther's looking for a bass player.
Oh, really?
Yeah, their bass player left. We had a blast. Every time Steel Panther comes to New Orleans, we have a good time. I've seen him at the House of Blues. And then the last time I saw him at the Fillmore.
Yeah, I'm going to have to Google how to play the bass. I'm going to learn how to play the bass over the weekend and see if they'll let me audition.
Well, then you probably
Steel
Panther. You probably won't make it. Because even though those guys are fun and they make you laugh out loud and they have a lot of jokes in their songs and such, they are good musicians.
Yeah, I'm a quick learner, though, John.
Yeah, Steel Panther is that band that they pay tribute and have fun. And I guess you could say make fun of the 80s hair metal.
Hey, maybe we should ask the listeners. If they had a chance to rock with any band, if you played the drums or the guitar, if you're the lead singer of anything, or if you just played a tambourine, which band would you like to jam with if you got to go to one of these fantasy band camp deals and you get to jam with any band of your choosing?
Yeah, text us if you want. But I couldn't imagine. I'd be like, because I've met and interviewed Jerry Cantrell and Kim Thayil before. But I couldn't imagine what I would say to Dave Cruzan if I was face-to-face with him, shaking his hand, saying, hey, dude, nice to meet you. You're the guy that was in Pearl Jam. You played drums for Pearl Jam right before they became a household name. What would you do after that? I mean, I'm sure he's played in other bands. I'm sure he's, but he obviously, he never made it. And here he is going to this Seattle rock and roll fantasy camp. I mean, just like all of the other people who didn't make it in the Seattle grunge scene. I mean, here's the original drummer from Pearl Jam.
Yeah, you think it's supposed to be the fantasy camp. Isn't it supposed to be the members of your fantasy? You know, we couldn't come in because Ida had hit, but I think Pearl Jam just made 30 as well. We were supposed to do the big Pearl Jam weekend or whatever, but we didn't get a chance to do it because
their fantastic first album, 10, turned 30.
Yeah, 10. And it was the funny story about 10. They named it it was because of that basketball player, Mookie.
Mookie Blaylock. Yeah. They were before their name was Pearl Jam, their name was Mookie Blaylock. But then there was an issue or two there, and they decided to change their name to Pearl Jam because Eddie Vedder, and I think a couple of the other guys in the band too, really big basketball fans, and his favorite basketball player was a player at the time playing in the NBA named Mookie Blaylock, but there was an issue with that. He wore number 10.
Right,
that's why they named their first album, their debut album, 10. They named it after the guy they loved watching play basketball.
Joe says he would like to jam with Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson.
Wow, you'd have to be really, really, really good. Now you're talking about, that's what Neil Peart did. You're talking about one of the greatest who ever sat behind a drum kit. You know, those guys, they want to make music again, but they don't want to call it Rush. They don't want to, you know, they don't want it to be like Rush, but they still want to. Because they're still professional musicians, but they're in kind of a quandary right now. Because I mean, any drummer that those two guys hire or hook up with, going to be compared to literally one of the greatest who ever lived, Neil Peart. That would that would not be a fun gig to have. Even though that texter probably Joe. is a huge Rush fan, that wouldn't be those would not be easy shoes to replace. So anyway, I just got a kick out of that, the Seattle rock and roll fantasy camp. Yeah, the guitarist of Alice in Chains, the guitarist of Soundgarden, and the original drummer from Pearl Jam who they kicked out of the band right before they made it huge. That's the guy I'd probably have the longest conversation with. I mean, you're at a fantasy camp. You're with me. And for you, it's basically a fantasy too. Why are you on that side of the room? You should be on this side of the room with all of the fans because that's basically what you are, Dave Cruzan. This would be a fantasy if you made it. But could you imagine being like him or Pete Best?
John Luna says, I would love to jam with Linkin Park.
Right, there you go. I just couldn't imagine being Pete Best or Dave Cruzan. You're the drummer of this band, and then right when you leave, That's when they explode. Hey, we're rocking and we're recovering here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here. And yesterday, the mayor of the city of New Orleans, Letaxa Cantrell, announced that the curfew is over. There had been a curfew. It's right after Hurricane Ida. You had to be off the streets in between 8 p.m. and 6 a.m. And Coleman and I were breaking that curfew because we had to come to work.
I had no idea.
Yeah, no one was allowed to be on the streets outside in New Orleans in between 8 p.m. and 6 a.m. until yesterday when she made the announcement saying as of today the curfew is over. So but when I'm coming into the radio station, if a cop saw me, I would have just said, look, I'm going to work. My job is over here. I don't know if I would have gotten in trouble for breaking the curfew.
I guess I just lucked up because I was by some friend's house in Algiers even before we got back to work, and I was leaving out clearly past 8 o'clock at night.
Well, you, Coleman, you live on the West Bank.
Yeah, but I was coming out of Algiers, which is Orleans Parish.
I know it is, but where you live right now, there's still a curfew until tomorrow.
Okay.
So you still have two more days of a curfew. The curfew in Jefferson Parish ends tomorrow.
Didn't know they had a curfew. Didn't care. I was just living life like normal. I guess I just lucked up.
Well, so much was closed and shut down right after Hurricane Ida. Why would there be people out on the streets if everything was closed?
Well,
that's why they implemented a curfew.
As you say, we go to work at weird times, and I was leaving friends' houses at weird times. Yeah.
So yeah, here in New Orleans, curfew is over, and even though over around 90% of the city of New Orleans has its power back, there's still a bunch of places that have not reopened. There are still places that are boarded up. And I'm talking about stores that sell food, some restaurants. I know yesterday on St. Charles Avenue, right near Lee Circle, that Popeye's Chicken was closed. The Raisin Cane's across the street from that closed.
Your new favorite spot.
I love Popeyes and I love Raising Cane's. They were both closed. Burger King, like a block away from that, was closed. Not even the drive-through of Raising Cane's or Burger King was open. And this was yesterday here in New Orleans, where we've had our power back for a little bit of time now, yet those places, and there are lots of other places around the city that have yet to open up. And look, I know there are still a lot of people not far from New Orleans in Metairie and Kenner who, as of yesterday and last night, didn't have their power back. I know some people in those areas who just got their power back yesterday.
Yeah, you also have to consider there are those who either don't have power that might work for these restaurants like Burger King and Raising Cane's that are still out of town and evacuating because they have nothing to come back to. So it's a possibility that these restaurants could be short-staffed. I know yesterday I went to one of my bars was just open, but the owner of the bar actually had to come bartend because some of her bartenders were still out of town. They haven't come back yet, even though, and some of them still, like even the bar owner still doesn't have power at her house, even though she has power at the bar that she works. So it's a lot of stuff like that going on.
And you did your day drinking with Coleman video yesterday because
yes, I did.
Twice a week, Coleman does his day drinking with Coleman videos. He makes a video of him getting drunk and talking about stuff, and he puts it on the Bayou Facebook page.
Yeah, so the bar that I did it was open, and the bartender who actually owns the bar this time was there, and she was explaining to me how she still doesn't have power. Some of her bartenders are still out of town, so when it goes to other restaurants like McDonald's and Popeyes and Raising Cane's and Burger King, they might not be prepared to open yet because they're still either understaffed or maybe the manager still haven't come back to town yet. We're still in a recovery mode, so
yeah. And by the way, Coleman makes those day drinking with Coleman videos on Wednesdays and on Saturdays, and he usually does it around noontime, maybe 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Check him out when you get a chance when you're online. That's when he makes his day drinking with Coleman videos. And look, I know that there's still a bunch of people who don't have power. And according to Entergy, in the city of New Orleans, 90% of the people have their power back. As a matter of fact, when it comes to total numbers with Entergy, I think they said just under 1 million people of their customers lost their power. And they've gotten a large number of those people reconnected. Yet they're still around 230,000 to 250,000 people that haven't gotten their power back yet. And there are some places that got hit really hard by Hurricane Ida. And Entergy is saying that they will hopefully have their power back by the end of the month. That is extremely rough as we sit here today on September 9th. The end of September? You talk about a nightmare. So we are still recovering. That's what we do here.
Yeah, this text says, please don't forget about Lafourche and Terrebonne parishes. We've lost everything.
Oh, it's brutal down in Houma. I have friends in Houma that it's rough. And no, we haven't forgotten about Lafourche Parish. About Terrebonne Parish. We haven't forgotten about some of the parishes that got hit really, really hard. And it's going to be a while before they're restored when it comes to electricity, power. But know that they are trying and know that they are working. Because I see around the city of New Orleans where a lot of the extra over 20,000 work crews from around the country have come here to New Orleans to help get us restored when it comes to electricity. Their trucks are everywhere. You see them, and they are doing the best that they can to get people restored. I know. Well, that's what we're doing. We're rocking and we're recovering, and it's like we're walking and chewing gum at the same time. But that's what we're doing here. And even though here in the city of New Orleans, we most of us do have our power back, there's still many, many places that need to reopen. Hang with us here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. I was just reading through a National Enquirer, and I know those used to be looked at as pure yellow journalism, just pure fiction. But over the years, the National Enquirer has gotten some big stories right. And they were the first ones to get them right. And look, the National Enquirer, they're a business. They have to make money. I mean, if everything that they wrote, or many of the things that they wrote, were fiction, lies, they would be paying out lawsuits every other day. So that, you know, there is some stuff, and you could look it up, that the National Enquirer was there in the beginning to break some pretty big stories. I was just reading there where China is waging a secret war on the United States, according to the National Enquirer. They say China is infiltrating our institutions, stealing our intellectual property, and loading our food with MSG. I love Chinese food. I think it's the MSG that makes it. It might be the S or the G that makes it, well, stands for so good.
But is it really a secret if it's in the news? If the National Enquirer said that we had a secret war with China, that kind of like spoils the secret, right?
Well, the secret, the cat's out of the bag. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. Very excited for football season to start as tonight the NFL kicks off the 2021 season. And they do it the same way every year now. They have whoever won the Super Bowl, the defending champion, they open the season in their home stadium on Thursday night. And so Tampa Bay opens tonight hosting the Dallas Cowboys. The Saints open up on Sunday. It was supposed to be the home opener here in the Superdome, but it's going to be in Jacksonville because of Hurricane Ida. And yesterday the mayor said that she hopes the Saints' fourth game of the season will be the first home game. All in the wake of Hurricane Ida. So, it was so cool that college football really got going last weekend, and the LSU game stunk. They played UCLA at UCLA's home stadium, which is the Rose Bowl out there in Southern California, Pasadena, right outside of Los Angeles. And LSU did not look good. Their offense looked awful. And there's already people calling for head coach Ed Orgeron's head. You know, the only time Coach Orgeron has ever been above 500, that's winning more games than losing, is when he had Joe Burrow as quarterback. They were pretty much unbeatable with Joe Burrow, but without Joe Burrow, Ed Orgeron has lost more games as the LSU head coach than he's won. That's an issue. That is a major problem for Coach O. But I absolutely love football, and I'm excited to watch it. And we're going to do our King of the Bayou again this year, but it's going to start a little bit late because of Hurricane Ida. So you go to our website and you pick the games and have fun. We'll talk more about that next week. That is going to happen, but it's a little bit late this year because of everything that's happened with Hurricane Ida. Something else pretty cool is happening in the world of sports right now. They're playing one of the four tennis major tournaments, the United States Open, up in New York City right now. And one of the men's players who's in the semifinals, if he wins, he is going to win the calendar Grand Slam, meaning if he wins the U.S. Open this weekend, Coleman, he will win all of the four tennis major tournaments in the same year. It's Novak Djokovic.
The Joker?
The Joker. And he won last night in the quarterfinals to make it to the semifinals, so there's four guys left. And if he wins his semifinal match, and I think that's tomorrow, and then he wins the finals on Sunday, he'll be the first one in an extremely long time to win all four tennis major tournaments in the same calendar year. That's incredible.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy's opponent. The opponent has to play hard as hell, because if that does happen, the opponent would just be a trivia question. Like, who did the Joker beat to win his calendar grand slam?
You know, but that's better than being nothing else, because I'll be honest with you, I'm a big sports fan, but I can only name a few top tennis players. I don't know who most of these tennis players are, so I'm not going to be, unless he plays, Roger Federer or Rafael Nadal, which he won't, because they were not in this United States Open this year. I think they had injuries or something. There's only a few top ranked tennis players that I can name. I don't know who anybody else is, and so at least that person, I mean, that person will make a huge name for themselves if they beat the Joker.
Yeah, if they beat him, but if they don't beat him, there'll be a footnote.
But at least there'll still be something. A footnote is still better than nothing. Nada, isn't it? So that's happening right now up in New York City. A few of the big tennis names did not play in this year's United States Open because of injuries, including Serena Williams on the women's side. But this would be the first time, if Novak Djokovic, the Joker, can do this weekend, this will be the first time that a tennis player won the calendar, at least a male tennis player, won the calendar year Grand Slam since 1969.
Wow.
And it would be his 21st major overall. He's tied right now with Roger Federer. They each have 20. And the fact that these two guys are playing right now at the same time, I mean, they're getting older, but that we're seeing these guys who have won the most major tournaments in the history of professional tennis, it's pretty cool.
I'm guessing Federer doesn't want his streak broken or beaten, so I'm quite sure he's going against the Joker coming up.
Well, you'd have to ask him that. You're probably right, although he'd be playing in this U.S. Open as well if there wasn't something wrong with him, but there's something wrong with him. But so he's going for, this guy is going for major tennis history. Again, I think his semifinal match is tomorrow night. If he wins that, the final match is on Sunday. And boy, he would, the most majors ever, plus the first time to win the calendar year Grand Slam since 1969. Oh, pretty wild stuff. Hey, we're rocking and we're recovering here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.